Welcome to another inspirational message from Urban Edge Church. If you would like to find out more information about who we are, visit urbanedge.org.za.
Well, good to have everybody this morning, and happy Easter, everybody. Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made. He is alive. He is risen. He didn't just die on a cross. He rose again 3 days later, and that is the gospel message. The Bible says it's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that a Savior has come. He has risen. He has paid a ransom for you and I so that we can be free and celebrate the goodness that He has in store for us. I don't know about you, but like there was an average cheer. And I don't know if you're online, maybe you didn't hear that cheer because these guys were not cheering loud enough in the audience this morning. So come on, guys, can we give a huge cheer to everybody? God is good. And we do want to say welcome to everybody, especially for those of you who are online and at our Durbanville campus. So good to have you join with us today. And so come on, as is our custom, can we just give them all a great hand this morning? Let's just welcome everybody that's with us this morning. Awesome. Well, just a couple of things before we get going into the message. First of all, thank you for your continued giving. And as you know, if this is your home and your family, there are many different ways to give, and you can continue to do that. And of course, there are envelopes. There are seats also, but there are envelopes in the seat pockets behind you, and you can drop in your giving at the end of the service. Then also, we are selling, I've got to get this right, hot cross bun brownies. Okay, they are brownies. They taste like hot cross buns. Pretty awesome, okay? From an organization called Down With Dough, who we love and support dearly. And their focus and their mission is to train and upskill young adults with intellectual disabilities for meaningful work placement. And they've just done a marvelous, marvelous work. And we just love what God is doing through all of that. And so go and get one of those and find out a little bit more about them on their website. And you will be able to support. Is that good? So come on, a brownie, hot cross bun flavored brownie. I think that is absolutely awesome. And all right. Well, Revelations 21. We're going to start right in the end. How's that for this morning, for this Easter message? Right in the end. Guys, you just got to readjust that clock. There's something funny that's gone on there. Revelation 21, verse 1 says this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is talking about the end times. And when Jesus comes again, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. Come on, isn't that good news for you and I this morning? God dwells with us. God dwells in us. God is among us. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. I just need a little bit of that non-pain today. I played a squash match 2 weeks ago. Someone in our congregation who, some of you need to lay hands on him because he decimated me. It was my first proper game of squash in 20 odd years, and I still cannot walk properly. 4 sessions later of physio. So I just need a little bit of that no more pain right now in Jesus' name. For the old order of things has passed away, and He who is seated on the throne said this, I am making all things new. I want to talk about that this morning. Jesus came to make all things new for you now. For those of you who are part of our church, who've been here over the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at a series called Your Kingdom Come. And in that series, we picked up from Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And so He teaches them. But one of the things that He teaches them is concerning God's kingdom. And He says this, this is how you ought to pray. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. So Jesus says to His disciples, pray for God's kingdom to come. In other words, God's kingdom is not just something we look forward to in the future. Jesus didn't just die so that we could get to heaven. Jesus died on a cross, paid a great price, was risen again so that God's kingdom can invade earth. The goodness of God's kingdom, the newness of God's kingdom can invade your life today and in the now. And we're going to talk about a few of those things in just a minute. But God wants heaven to invade earth. That's what Jesus was saying. When you pray, pray, Lord, your kingdom come. But what does that mean? That means heaven invading earth. That means the rule and reign of God invading this earth. That means the goodness of heaven populating earth. You and I are free to experience all the things that we've read in Revelations 21. We may not experience it in its fullness, but we can experience it in its part, in a part of it, and we can lay a hold of it, and we don't have to wait for heaven. You don't have to wait to be happy until you get to heaven. God has got goodness for you, yeah. God has got joy for you, yeah. God has got freedom for you, yeah. God, Jesus died for all of those things so that we could experience his fullness, not just one day when we get to eternity. But the Bible says we can lay hold of that even yeah, today. And so Jesus prays and teaches his disciples to say, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. So why did Jesus come? Well, one of the reasons Jesus came was to rescue us and take us into this new kingdom. And that's what we've been talking about in this kingdom series, is that God has come to establish a new kingdom, a king who rules and reigns, a king who has a different kingdom. In other words, there is a different kingdom, a kingdom that you and I get to experience now called the present evil age. And in this kingdom, there is a lot of bad things that happen. But God is rescuing us out of this kingdom and he's putting us into a new kingdom where God rules and God reigns. And everything that we read in Revelations 21 is a part of God's kingdom experience for your life. So Jesus comes to rescue us. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, it says it like this: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin to rescue us from what? From this present evil age. In other words, this kingdom, this evil age, this age that brings destruction, this age that brings death, this age that brings a lot of bad things. And, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about humanity. You know, I guess the constant striving of humanity is to become better. But I can honestly say that in thousands of years of man striving to become better, not a lot has changed. Anybody ever notice that? Like, no matter how much we try, we just can't get it right. Why? Because the ruler of this age has a different mandate. The ruler of this age is the one that brings death and destruction. But God is ushering us through Jesus into a new age and a new kingdom that God has established for us. And that kingdom is good. That kingdom is a kingdom where there's no more death. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. The goodness of God gets to be manifest as we submit to his rule and his reign. And God wants that for our lives. Come on, that's the good news for you and I this morning. We've got something to look forward to, but not just in eternity, even in the year and now, we can lay a hold of his kingdom. And so we don't have to wait, because Jesus himself came to usher in that new kingdom. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I want you to know what Jesus said. He said, you don't have to wait for eternity. You don't have to wait for one day. Today, you can begin to experience God's fullness that one day will be fully restored. But you get to experience it in the year and now, because I came to usher in that kingdom. Come on, I need an amen, yeah, this morning. Like, this is good news for you and I this morning. And so Jesus comes to usher in this kingdom and he brings it into the now. But even though it's here now, it's not quite here yet. You know, I remember years ago when we had bought our first house, we were living in town. At the time, Tanya and I, we had bought a house in Edgemere, a small little house. And I remember when we were able to move across into this new house, we had gained occupation of the house. And so we had decided, clever us. We're not going to hire a rental company. Why do we need a rental company? We can do it all ourselves. And we had a couple of weeks before we had to vacate the current premise in order to move into the new premise. A couple of weeks in between where we had occupation of both. And so we decided that over those couple of weeks, we were going to move everything outside. How many of you know that's just a bad idea? Like, just suck it up, pay the money, get someone else to do it, and you will be much happier. Can I get an amen here this morning, those of you who've ever experienced moving? But the reality was that we had occupation of both. We were moving into the new, even though we were still occupying the old. And that's what the kingdom of God is like for you and I. Jesus has given us access to the new. We're not fully in. We haven't fully experienced it. We're not fully there, but we can still lay a hold of it in the now. There's a moving across. Jesus is moving across. He's moving our heart across. He's moving our emotions across. He's moving our freedom across. He's moving everything that we have into this new kingdom that we get to possess, but we don't have to wait for it one day. It's here for you. Today, God wants you to lay a hold of it today. Come on, I need an amen here this morning. And so I want to give you just three things quickly this morning about this new kingdom that the cross of Jesus has already ushered in for you and I that I believe you can take a hold of this morning. The first one is that sin is broken. Sin is broken. Put differently, Jesus has restored our relationship to God. Because what is sin? You know, when a lot of people think of sin, what they think about immediately is morality. And morality is a part of sin. So we think to ourselves, well, I just want to be a better person. If I can be a good moral person, then I will be okay in life. And for some people, that's the goal of their lives. But sin, when you look at the Bible, is not just about morality. It's actually an act of offense against God. In fact, David said it in this way in Psalm chapter 51, verse 4. He says this, he says, "Against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned." And what David was speaking about over there was not just that we've hurt one another, that we've been bad people, that we've thought evil thoughts and we've thought horrible things and we have this bad sense of morality and maybe we're trying to overcome our bad sense of morality, you know, a little bit of better karma than worse karma. No, David said, no, what sin actually does, God, is that I have sinned against you, not just my brother, not just against me, not just against the world around me, but ultimately, first and foremost, God, I have sinned against you. And sin is the thing that severs our relationship with God. And so when we address sin in our lives, we're addressing it first and foremost so that we can restore our relationship with God. That's why Jesus came and he paid the price on our behalf. The Bible says that you and I could not pay for the sins of our lives. There was nothing that we could do. We were financially bankrupt in the world of sin. We were sin bankrupt. And there's nothing we can do to restore it. But Jesus became the substitute on our behalf. He paid the price on our behalf. He suffered on the cross on our behalf so that we didn't have to pay the price. But Jesus pays the price on our behalf. Why? So that we can be better moral people? No. So that we can be restored back into our relationship with God. Come on, you don't have to wait for heaven to meet God. You don't have to wait for eternity to have a relationship with God. You can enjoy it in the here and now because Jesus broke the curse of sin, opened up the door for you and I so that we could step in and step through and enjoy this wonderful relationship that God has designed for you and I. Sin is broken. Because Jesus bore our sin. The second thing is that death is defeated. Put differently, Jesus has given us great victory over death. Now, I don't know about you, but haven't you discovered this in life? In fact, that they say that the greatest business, the next greatest business revolution, remember we've been in this whole IT revolution, this whole internet revolution, etc. The next greatest revolution, which is already happening now, is in the health sector. Because everybody's trying to stay young. Ever discovered that? We're all trying to stay young, and we're all trying to dodge the bullet of death. And so there's a lot of money in that game. Like, you should go into plastic surgery if you want to make mega money. Because if I can do anything to freeze my face at the age of 20, I will be happy. Come on, can I get an amen here this morning? Like, why do we do it? Because we're obsessed with age. We're obsessed with staying younger. We're obsessed with trying to find the fountain of youth so that we can be younger. Some of you mothers, let me just say, stop dressing like your daughters. It ain't working for you, okay? Like, just stop it. Because your daughter's looking at you going, Mom, you're embarrassing me, please. Because we're obsessed with being young. We're obsessed with dodging the bullet of death. So we'll do everything to stay alive. And that's not a bad thing. Like, I want to stay alive, at least until my pension runs out one day. You know, I want to stay alive. But we're obsessed with it. In fact, if you look at historically, life expectancy in Jesus' day was 39 years old. Today, they say the average life expectancy, obviously depending on whether you're living in a first world or a third world country, and there's multiple other factors, but the average life expectancy these days is 70 to 80 years old. That is double the life expectancy of Jesus' day. And we're still obsessed with getting older than that. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Hey, God bless you. In fact, we've got a few over 80s here today. Like you've beaten the odds. God bless. Come on, give yourselves a hand this morning. That is absolutely fantastic. But we just want to live more and more. In fact, these days, we're freezing our bodies so that one day we can be resuscitated through cryogenics when they can find a way to bring us back to life, because we're obsessed with living. And the reason why I think sometimes we're obsessed with living is because we're afraid of dying. But the Bible says that Jesus has removed the sting of death for you and I that are in Him, for you and I that have received Him, for you and I that are born again. We do not have to fear death. We do not have to worry about death, because death is simply a passing from one stage to the next, from one kingdom to another, from one place to another place. We do not have to fear death because we know that Jesus has made us alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, it says this: Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture is fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death. Through what? Through what Jesus did on the cross. Come on, how many of you know this morning? You don't have to fear death. You don't have to be obsessed with death. You don't have to be obsessed with staying young. In fact, the older you get as a believer, the younger you get. It's kind of like that movie, that Brad Pitt movie, okay? You start off old and you get younger because God has got new life for you. Behold, all things will be made new. Your body isn't getting older in Jesus. Your body isn't getting older in Christ. No, God is restoring all things. And even though you feel like you're decaying, God is restoring you from the inside. God is doing a new work on the inside. God is not taking you from life to death. God is taking you, the Bible says, from death to life for those who are in Him, in Jesus' name. Come on, we can give God some praise for that this morning. You know, as I've been through this last COVID season, we've buried probably almost every single week. We've had a funeral. We've seen death. We've seen people dying. We've seen people succumb to COVID. We've seen people succumb to other illnesses. But the one thing that I can say that I've noticed is a marked difference is I buried people who are born again and I buried people who are not born again. And those that were not born again, and you watch the families, they feel as though hope is lost because the sting of death is real for them. But I've seen so many people over this last season, even as we buried their loved ones, the pain is there. The sadness is there. The hurt is there. But the sting of death has been removed. It's been a celebration of somebody who's moving into a new kingdom where death has been destroyed, where new life has come in, and their aching bodies have been restored. No more physio, no more chiropractor. Come on, how many of you know if you studied to be a chiropractor or a physio, you ain't going to have work in heaven one day, okay? Because God has made all things new for you and I, and we don't have to fear death. We don't have to worry about death. We can overcome death, not because of what we can do, but simply because of what Jesus has done on the cross. The third thing that I want to leave you with this morning as we come to a close is that by His stripes, we are healed. By His stripes, we are healed. In other words, Jesus is restoring our present circumstances. And even though we don't experience it in full, we get to experience it at least in part. Come on, some of you know, when I look around this room, some of you know the freedom that God has brought in your life, the deliverance from addiction, the deliverance from pain, the deliverance from guilt and shame, the work that God has done in our lives, because we're not just waiting to survive to get to eternity, but the Bible says that God wants to bring healing now into our lives. We have this dog, we picked him up during COVID last year. He's a rescue dog. His name is Archie. He's about between five and seven years old. And Archie, obviously, in his previous ownership was beaten quite a bit, because every time you pick up a stick, he runs away. Every time you raise your voice, he bolts. Every time somebody comes in and they come too close to one of us, he sees it as a threat and he wants to kind of give you a little nip on the back of his leg. And every now and then when we're sitting outside and we raise our voice, I can see Archie kind of just cowering away. And that's the result of the life that he's lived. There's a brokenness in him. There's a distraction in him. There's a life that has been taken away from him, in a sense. And what happens when we shout is that we realize that he's starting to just have that fear and panic. And then what we do is we just calm our voices down and we gently call him. And we reach out. He takes a couple of little steps closer. And he looks at us and he's checking us out. And we just keep calling him, keep stretching out our hand. He takes a few more steps closer. And eventually he's brave enough to the point where we can touch him. And in that moment as we touch him, it's as though all that fear dissipates. All that pain is gone. All that anxiety is removed, and he can once again be himself. And I want to say to you and I this morning that that's exactly what God is doing in your life. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. God's not stretching his arm out to beat you. God's not stretching his arm out to judge you. God's not stretching his arm out to tell you how bad you are. You already know how bad you are. You already know the things that you struggle with in your life. You already know the addictions. You already know the anxieties. You already know the pain and the hurt and the guilt and the shame. We know all of those things as human beings. But what God is doing, what I love about our God, is that he's always stretching his hand out, waiting for you and I to come. And maybe sometimes there's some fear as we come, but God keeps his hand out towards us so that the moment he can touch us, we can feel the goodness of his love. We can feel the wonder of the cross. We can feel the greatness of his pain and his suffering so that we could be free from our guilt and our shame and our brokenness so that we can be restored into the fullness of what God has in store for our lives. You don't have to live in the guilt and shame and pain and bondage and all of those things that this present age brings upon you. God wants to bring freedom into your life. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to wait for eternity. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience joy. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience peace. You don't have to get to heaven before you have no more pain. No, God is ready to make all things new today. God wants to restore you today. God wants to do a work in your life today. And if you're willing to just reach out and touch him, God is waiting to restore your life. Come on, isn't that good news for you now? And how do we experience all of that? It's simply because of what Jesus did on the cross. He didn't just die for us so that we could get saved and go to heaven. He died so that he could make all things new in your life. You don't have to wait for heaven. God bless you. That's not heaven knocking. That's just a child. God can do it in your life today. Come on, let's all stand as we close this morning. I want to take a moment and pray. I want to pray for every single person that's in this room, in another room, online, wherever you are. Maybe you're sitting here today. You kind of felt in your life, you've been through COVID, you've been through things in your life, and you've kind of felt, well, God, you know, I am saved, but man, I'm just waiting to get to heaven because maybe one day I'll be happy. Maybe one day I'll be free. I want to pray this morning that you'll get a revelation that God wants to make all things new today in your life. Can you reach out to him? Come on, let's just pray. Father, we just come to you today and we say thank you. Thank you for the wonder of your cross. Thank you for what Jesus did. He died so that our sins can be forgiven, so that death can be defeated, so that all things can be made new. God, we receive that this morning in Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe the thing that you need to receive is you need to receive his forgiveness. You need to receive the work that he did on the cross. You need to receive salvation. Because sin breaks your relationship with God. But if you want to restore that relationship, you need to receive what he's done in your life. And if you want that, pray that prayer, this prayer with me. So Lord, I come to you this morning and I say thank you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died on a cross. That Easter isn't about Easter bunnies and Easter eggs. But it's about a Savior who came to this earth. Who reached out to me. Who died for me. So that I can be free and have a brand new start. Thank you that today I'm born again. I have a brand new start. All things are made new in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, can we give God a hand this morning? Amen. Amen. Hey, if you did pray that prayer this morning, either for the first time or maybe it's a recommitment, and even if you're online this morning, we'd love you just to do one thing before you leave the service. Just text the word SAVE to the number that's going to appear on the screen. You say, why? Because we'd love to just make contact with you and encourage you and help you in this amazing journey that God has in store for your life, to know him and to find freedom in him this morning. So just text the word SAVE to the number that's going to appear on the screen. Now, for those of you who did come to our in-person service this morning, there are Easter eggs. There is good food. There is good coffee. There is something in store for everybody. So don't leave. Don't run out. Just hang out and connect. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to Sunday. Have a fantastic Easter weekend. God bless.